Hey, everybody. Hope you had a great week. Thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to Rewoke, Rewriting Our Kids' Education Podcast. My name is Michelle Person, and we are on a journey to change the face of education. We are rethinking, re-examining, and re-educating ourselves and our children. Last week, we talked about science and what it meant to be woke in the science classroom. And this week, we are exploring being woke in social studies. Social studies is history. And why is history important? It's important because it tells us where we come from, what we are capable of, and it frames how we see ourselves. There is an African proverb that says, "Until the lions have their own historians, the history of the hunt will always glorify the hunter." You can't be more woke than that. There is a scene in The Woman of Wooster Place that always gets me right here. And since we are a podcast, understand that I'm pointing to my heart. One of the moms has a son and she's taking her son to a play and they're doing a Shakespeare play. I believe it's Midsummer's Night's Dream, or maybe it's The Tempest. I don't remember at this point, but one of the characters is a donkey. And in the play, they often refer to the donkey as a jackass. They say jackass repeatedly. The mother, who has a plethora of children, has a habit of calling her children jackasses. Halfway through the play, the baby turns to his mother and says, "Mommy, is that what I'm going to look like when I grow up?" And the mom is confused because the donkey has a donkey head. Like it's a grown man, clearly in a donkey costume. And she's like, "No, why would you look like that?" And basically he says, "Well, because you call me a jackass and that's a jackass. So that's what I'm going to look like when I grow up." The feels. I mean, it just gives in that moment in the movie, I feel like the mother gets it. She understands how her words have had a huge impact on how her child sees himself in the world. History told that baby that he was a jackass and that that was what he was going to look like when he grows up. Imagine what kind of crazy and completely inaccurate conclusions our children must come to when the only images and stories they hear about themselves and their ancestors are of slavery, segregation, and Martin Luther King. There's no mention of the powerful and innovative civilizations that we come from. No mention of Kush, no mention of Kemet, no mention of the great Zimbabwe, no mention of the inventions that we created and people came from far and wide to learn about. There is no mention of the achievements made by our people, in spite of the obstacles placed in front of them. If you ask me, history is quite possibly the most important thing we need to rewrite in order to cultivate a new generation of woke learners. In my opinion, that issue is so dire that I made creating a more factual and culturally responsive social studies curriculum my priority and launched Meanwhile in Africa for students in grades K through 5 this past spring. The response has been overwhelming. Parents are hungry for content they can share with their children that shows our power, our genius, and our strength instead of our weaknesses, our failures, and our struggles. Meanwhile in Africa is my attempt to try to be part of the solution, but that can't be the only solution. So beyond making Meanwhile in Africa and curriculums like it mandatory in our schools, how do we change the narrative being spread in our history and social studies classes? Well, my guest today is Lestasha Marsh, and she is the social studies instructional specialist for Peterborough City Schools in Virginia. And she is here to explain how she does it and to give us some tips. Lestasha, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking out the time out of your busy schedule to stop by and talk to us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Before we dive in and start talking about social studies and why it is so important to make sure that it is taught accurately and with a high level of engagement, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
I am currently the curriculum instructional specialist for Petersburg City Public Schools. I began my teaching career in 2006. I was the teacher of the year in 2011 at Armstrong High School. And I just love educating the students in social studies.
So we talked a little bit before before we came on to interview, and I was sharing with you why I felt social studies was important. The fact that it's often one of the overlooked subjects in school. It often gets the least amount of attention. Yes. The curriculums that are provided often have major holes in them. Yes. They're not engaging. And ironically, when you're talking about creating a sense of self and identity and self-worth for students, social studies and history is honestly quite possible the biggest part of creating a whole child, giving children, you know, a sense of understanding who they are in the world. So I guess that all being said, tell me why you feel social studies instruction is so important. Good social studies instruction is so important.
I absolutely agree with everything that you said. And social studies is one of the most overlooked subjects. You know, we often are passed along for the English and for the math. And yes, both those things are important, but it's also important for students to understand what it means to be a good citizen, their rights, their responsibilities. If we don't know the mistakes that our ancestors made, we are bound to repeat unnecessary mistakes again. So it is important that we learn and grow from where we were, because we can't move forward if we don't understand where we've been.
Yeah, I want to, I'm not sure who said it, but a popular quote that, you know, I'm sure everybody has heard it in some variation, but, you know, history is cyclical. And if you don't learn from it, you will repeat it.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you wonder, like, why is this happening again? Didn't we learn? No, they didn't learn because they cut social studies out. So yes, there was no, they didn't learn anything. So while we're at one of the things that we're sitting here, and I know there are social studies teachers are harder and harder to come by. They are over because they try to take one teacher and give them 75 million, responsibilities. And so it's hard for them to kind of hone their craft. But given that it's such an important topic, what would you say are three strategies that a superb teacher of the year, social studies instructor should be doing to engage our Black and Brown learners to make sure that that social studies comes alive for them?
Absolutely. First of all, good social studies instruction, you have to make it relevant to the students. You have to make it relevant to their lives today. So you have to be able to connect the past to the present and then to show how it's going to affect the future. So we have to show how that all makes sense, because if students just see social studies as something of the past, then it's not interesting to them today. But if we can actually show those connections, then that would engage the students to say, okay, so I can see that this has happened back then and now this has happened currently. So they can actually see the connection between the two. And to engage our Black and Brown students, first of all, social studies teachers cannot let their biases show. You have to come in and you have to be non-biased, because the students will pick up on that. We have to understand that not all of our students come from the same background. They don't have the same experiences. So we have to give them that exposure. We have to expose them to some of the things that they have not been exposed to in the past. And then another thing that we have to actually do is make sure that all students, not just Black and Brown, but all students, that they see themselves in what we're teaching. So we want to make sure that we show up for all students, not just the Black and Brown students, but for all students. All students want to see themselves represented in the history, because we all played a role in making this world what it is.
Mm-hmm. 100%. That is 100% the goal. I mean, like, I know this particular episode, I've spoken a lot about Meanwhile in Africa, and it's because everything you're saying resonates so deeply within me. That's why I created Meanwhile in Africa. That's why parents are loving Meanwhile in Africa, because it is taking the history, it is teaching them, giving them an understanding of their past, and then helping them take that information and create their future. That's the whole entrepreneurship content or, you know, that goes with it. Like, it's not just a history lesson. It's a history lesson, a reflection piece, and then a how can I rewrite or create my future based on what I just learned. It's not just for Black and Brown students. It is for everyone, because we, like you just said, you said it so eloquently, we all created this current state, and it's, we all have to understand our roles in it, and how to make sure that we continue to create the best possible future. I love everything you said. Do parents who want to support good social studies instruction at home, parents who want to, you know, make sure that even though maybe the social studies instruction in school is limited because of time constraints, because of budget cuts, what can they do at home? What resources do you recommend?
The Library of Congress, they have a vast amount of primary source documents, of other information that parents can use to help their students. And all of that content is free. The Virginia Department of Education, or even the Department of Education from other states, they should also have some resources for free. And one thing that I've been telling my teachers throughout the pandemic, a lot of the museums, they have virtual online exhibits that you can actually sign up for, and you can have someone to come in and they'll do the tour or the exhibit virtually, so you don't have to go there. And that's actually good if you're in a different state. I know Jamestown, they have a few programs, because not a lot of people get to come to Jamestown to see the original settlement and the New World. So that is something that is available for those people around the country that can actually come in and see the Jamestown settlement.
I know that's so funny that you said that, because one of the things that I pushed out to my teachers was, the Natural Museum of History in New York City. They were giving free tours, you know, because there was a pandemic. So they opened it up, and you didn't have to be, you know, in New York to be able to experience the museum. And I thought that was a phenomenal resource. So I love, like, check out your local libraries, your local museums. Almost all of them have a free day. If they're not free all the time, they have awesome programming. And right now, as we continue to soldier on through this pandemic, people are still offering free virtual stuff. So I think those are all really good, really good suggestions.
And actually, having spoken to a few of the curators at the museums, I think that they're actually going to keep this virtual component, because it does allow more exposure than what they would be able to do in the face-to-face setting. So I do think that the virtual component, because they've gotten it up to standards now, I think that a lot of the museums are going to actually offer those in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you are in and you're coaching your teachers, and you're, after you've told them about, you've talked to them about, you know, making it relevant and keeping it, you know, introducing all aspects and checking their biases, what does good social studies instruction look like when you go in and you observe someone? What a good social studies teacher, what are they doing? What are they doing to make sure the students are engaged?
One of the things that I actually look for when I go in and observe my teachers, I want to make sure that they are using primary source documents. This helps the students to actually see what the documents actually look like. When we're looking at the Constitution, the students should be able to view the actual Constitution. They should be able to read the words of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. So I look for that. I look for, just to make sure that it's accurate, I want to make sure that what they're teaching is accurate. So we have developed a robust curriculum in Petersburg City Public Schools to make sure that what they're teaching is accurate. I want to make sure that the teachers are engaging the students. I want to make sure they have hands-on activities. I want to make sure that the students are held responsible for their own learning as well. So giving them opportunities to learn on their own, given projects and assignments and not just tests. We want to make sure that they can perform skills, because skills are necessary. So those are some of the things that I look for when I go into the social studies classrooms.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Do you have anything that you think that parents can do at home to support?
A lot of things. Well, I have a son, and what I try to do with my son is I try to make the learning relevant for him for social studies in all aspects of life. Like my son, he has this fetish with WWE wrestling. Mm-hmm. So he knows the stats of most of the wrestlers. So when he knew where each wrestler was from, then, okay, so that's what you like to do. So we got a map and he learned where each state was because he knew where each wrestler was from. So he had like a little miniature picture that we cut out and then he would pin it on the map to show where the wrestlers were from. And that helped him to learn the geography. So you have to focus on what your kids like. What do they like? How can we make that relevant? Another thing that we do is like with the San Francisco 49ers, we explain how they got that name, how the Chicago Bulls got their name, how the Pittsburgh Steelers got that name. So we have to make it relevant for their current exposure, what they like. And then if you make it relevant to what they like, then they will enjoy it.
I think that idea, it's so funny. My nephew used to go to a Montessori school and they did a map like that, but they did it. If you had family members who lived in different states, you would pin the family member in the state that the family member lived in. I had never even thought about doing the same exact project. Still teaching map skills, still teaching the idea of scale, still teaching, how to create a map key and a map legend, symbols, all that. Just do it with WWE people. Like, absolutely. I mean, like, you know, you can, so just parents be creative is what I'm hearing. Like, you know, be creative. And when you see an assignment come home, see if there's a way that you can take that assignment and tap into what you know your child's interests are so that you can make it relevant to them. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I loved everything that you said. I think it's great I concur with everything that you said, but I think sometimes people need to hear it from a different source. And obviously when you're hearing it from the teacher of the year and the curriculum instruction specialist for an entire district, you carry a little bit more weight than just the building administrator. So thank you so much for coming on and talking to our parents about the importance of social studies and making sure that we include it in what we're teaching our children.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and continue to do what you do.
Virtual museum visits, research them. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how much your children will enjoy them and how much they will learn from those experiences. I want to thank my guest, LaStacia Marsh, for taking time out of her schedule to speak with us, and thank you all for listening. Show notes, resources, and links to all the things we've mentioned are available on our website at www.justlikemepresents.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and share this podcast with other parents and educators in your circle. Visit our Facebook group, Just Like Me Presents, and share your favorite social studies resources. Now, we have touched on all the major school subjects in our journey so far, but what about rethinking what school looks like on a daily basis? Next week, we will explore a different method of instructional delivery for students, and you can decide if it's something that you might be interested in for your child. Thanks for listening, and remember, if our children can see it, they can achieve it. Parents, are you frustrated with traditional education? I was. Educators, are you struggling to find inclusive academic content that represents your students? I know the feeling. That is why I created Just Like Me Presents. Just Like Me Presents is a multimedia production and development company that stresses the importance of literacy, culturally relevant teaching materials, and active learning experiences. Check out our culturally responsive books and supplemental curriculums on our website, www.justlikemepresents.com. In the Just Like Me book and Just Like Me pick sections, your child will be amazed at how many books they can choose from where the characters look like them. They've never had math explained the way we do with Remember Through Rhyme, and I can guarantee the history we share and Meanwhile in Africa isn't taught in any traditional public school. Let us help you get the tools you need to rewrite your child's education and set them on a path to success. If you have a child in kindergarten through fifth grade, trust me, you'll want to check us out. I think you're going to love our programs and the long-lasting positive impact they will have on your child. Our programs help students develop a strong sense of self, affirm their identities, and encourage critical thinking and entrepreneurship skills. Head on over to the website now at www.justlikemepresents.com and help empower your child to become the best version of themselves. And remember, If our children can see it, they can achieve it.